For those of you who think I'm speaking this morning, I just psyched you out. I'm here to introduce our speaker. And plus, I'm wearing this really cool vest. Here to introduce our speaker this morning. I am really pleased. Today, our speaker is someone who is from our within our midst. Jessie Marcus. She's been a part of our community for 3 years now, 4 years now. And Jessie is actually currently on staff. She's what we call one of our missional interns. And that really means, number one, that she's helping to liaison the Jacob's Well to our corpuses that are out there. And so she's connected to several of the corpus groups. And the other thing that she's doing beginning this year, in the next several months, is she's working with Philip Lesneski to really help define a pastoral care process. We feel like that's something that we need to do a better job of, and Jessie and Philip have really kind of undertaken that as something that they want to do, and so we're excited about that. Just a couple things about Jessie. She's married to Todd, who's actually sitting up here with her, and she has three kids, Wells, Lincoln, and Olive. A notable fact about Jessie, just so you can get to know her better, is she has the amazing distinction of having been born in a car. Is that amazing? That this is truly. And what I love about that is if you get to know Jessie, she has this very competitive spirit about her. And so if you ever play a game with her or do anything, you'll see it come out. So not to be outdone by her mom, she decided that she was going to have her second child, Lincoln, in a car. So I'm not making that up. That's just so stuff gets passed on, hereditary, all that kind of stuff. So actually really excited to have Jessie here. Her theological training was done at Fuller Seminary, which is out in Pasadena, and she just has an important voice for us as a community here. So welcome, Jessie, to the pulpit.
Wow. Is that on? Oh, there we're good. Thank you. And my labor was shorter than my mom's, so I win. Just kidding. Good morning, friends. This morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses. So we'll do our normal practice here like we usually do. We're going to read up on the screen together these first 11 verses. And so just listen for things that may be stirring within you as we read these verses, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. So let's read together. There we go. All right. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And he sat and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. So any thoughts, anything that this stirs in you, anything that you catch in this passage? Yeah.
It's interesting that their response to probably the most successful thing they've ever done in their careers is to leave it and reap none of the real rewards from it.
Yes, that's so interesting. So they just desert this enormous catch, biggest catch of their lives, and just leave it, that's their response. Thank you, Ian. Anyone else? Anything strike you or catch your attention here? Yeah. 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 So his response to this miracle is fear. So when things of that magnitude happen, that's a typical, like, a response that you're resigned with. Yeah. Yeah. So the sense of shame that there's something about his sinfulness when he comes in the presence of Jesus that he feels. Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else? Yeah, Eric. Mm-hmm.
And yet, because you asked me, Jesus, to put down my nets, I will.
Yeah.
So I was struck by his faith.
So there's a sense of faith there, right? That they've been out all night long, haven't caught a single thing, and yet he has this faith that says, because you say so, I'll do this. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Faith is not a word,
Right. So he doesn't just proclaim with his mouth, but he puts it into action. Absolutely. Well, very good. What I'd like to do today is just kind of walk through this story together and see what comes out of it for us. What's interesting, just to give you a little background, this is not the first interaction in Luke that Simon has had with Jesus. If you look back, I don't know if you have your pew Bible, if you want to grab it, but back in chapter 4, Jesus has been teaching in a synagogue to a big crowd of people. And he leaves the synagogue, and he goes to Simon's house. Now, we don't know why he goes to Simon's house, why he's targeted Simon out, really. Walked away from what he was doing. Was he invited? Did he decide to just kind of show up? The text give us no clue. And so it kind of made me wonder, what do we know about Simon that Jesus would choose to interact with him specifically? So far, what we know about Simon is that he has a family, he's living in a home, his mother-in-law lives with them. From the text that we read today, we know, so he's grown up on this Lake of Gennesaret, which is actually another name for the Sea of Galilee. And just to put a kind of a picture in your head, the Sea of Galilee, it's huge. It's a freshwater lake, and at its widest point, it's 13 miles across, so you can't even necessarily see to the other side. It's huge. And it's beautiful, this beautiful place. So this is Simon's background. This is where he's grown up, spent all of his life. And this lake is also the best area for fishing, too, in the entire area. So this is where he finds his vocation. So it's not just his background, but this is his livelihood. He's a fisherman. He works with his hand. He owns his own boat. And so he works with this crew of guys day in and day out. Usually there's about 5 men on a boat of the size that he had. And so you can imagine they've become like extended family to him. These are the people that he's with. So really, not much spectacular about him, right? He's an ordinary guy. Nothing so different from you and I. Living an ordinary day. And who shows up at his house but Jesus? And when Jesus shows up, Simon's mother-in-law, she's sick. She has a really high fever, and Jesus has already been about the business of healing people everywhere he goes. And word about him is spread quickly, because every time he gets up and speaks or heals people or casts out demons in Luke, the typical reaction is amazement. People are amazed by what he does, by his actions, as well as his words. He's preaching with authority and power that people have never heard before. So here is Jesus in his house, and he heals Simon's mother-in-law, and she gets up and starts taking care of everybody. And so for me, it made me wonder, maybe that would have been enough, right? Maybe that would have been enough for Simon to have this person in his family that he cared about, for Jesus to come in to heal this person that he loved. But the text says that no sooner has Jesus come into his house that Jesus is back out, healing people, casting out demons. So he's there and then he's gone. And again, maybe that would have been enough to imprint on Simon's heart the power and the wonder of God incarnated in Jesus. Maybe that would have been enough. I mean, Simon has no reason to expect another interaction with Jesus, right? He's just an ordinary guy, a fisherman. So what does he do? He continues back with his ordinary life, his day-to-day tasks of caring for his family, fishing. And so in the text today, what we find is that he's having another ordinary day. But actually not just an ordinary day, it's been a frustrating day up to this point, right? He's been out all night long, laboring. And what does he have to show for it? Not one single fish. It is fruitless labor. So you can see him standing by the shore after a night of frustration, cleaning his nets. I mean, if it were me, I'd be muttering, right? Like, I've been out all night. This is supposed to feed and clothe my family, and I got nothing to show for it. So you wonder if he's so into what he's doing that he doesn't even necessarily notice that Jesus is back at the side of the lake, right? And the text says that Jesus is teaching this enormous crowd of people. And that part always makes me wonder, too, like, how did this crowd of people gather? Like, was Jesus just having a conversation with one or two people? But word about him is spread quickly. So are other people kind of hunching, trying to hear, what's he saying? What's going on? What will he do next? Because they're amazed by him every single time. But for whatever reason, this crowd is gathered, and they're pressing in on him. This part makes me claustrophobic. Like, these hordes of people are pressing in on Jesus, so much so that his back now is to this lake. And there's just people everywhere. So you can kind of see him looking around. He spots Simon's boat over here. And the text says, uninvited, Jesus just gets in the boat. And then he looks at Simon, who, you know, he's exhausted, he's frustrated. He looks at Simon and says, hey, can you push off shore just a little? And I love your thought here that Simon acts in faith, right? He doesn't just use his words here. There's no words given by Simon, but he steps into that boat right there. That's an act of faith. He decides to push off the shore a little. And so Jesus continues on, and what I love here too is that he's not standing up preaching to these crowds. I mean, you know there's a ton of people, and now he's on a boat. He sits down. He's taking up residence in Simon's boat. I mean, he's already been in his home, and now he's in, like, his home away from home, right? This boat is his second home. And Jesus is just sitting there lounging, and you can imagine. Again, Jesus keeps preaching the word of God, and how powerful would that be to hear Jesus preaching the word of God? And again, everyone is amazed, and you can picture Simon with this front row seat of Jesus preaching the word of God, like his mouth must just be dropped wide open, And you can almost see these seeds of faith sprouting to life as he's listening and being transformed by these words that Jesus is speaking. Because the text gives us a clue here that when Jesus is done speaking to the crowds, he turns to Simon and he says, "Now will you push out into the deep water and cast your nets over to the side?" What is the deep water like? In deep water, you can't see the bottom of the lake. You don't know what's down there. If you sink, you're in trouble, right? Unless you can swim back to shore. This is a dangerous place if your boat starts to sink. It's unfamiliar and unknown down there. Jesus has first asked him to push out a bit from shore. Now push out into the deep water, into this unknown. And then cast your nets over the side. And I love Simon's response here. He hides none of his frustration with Jesus. He says, "Master," a term of respect, right? But then he goes into it. "Master, we have been fishing all night long, and we have caught nothing. Not a single thing." And one piece of information here is that they're fishing with linen nets. That's why they're out at nighttime, because the fish can't see these nets. So at night, they have a shot, right, to catch these fish. But if they go out during the day, the fish are going to see these nets. If they haven't caught anything all night, they're not going to catch anything during the day. So absolutely, in an act of faith, Simon, this man who's a fisherman, who's grown up by this lake his entire life, he looks at this son of a carpenter and says, "But because you say so, we'll do this." And what happens when they push out into the deep and throw those nets overboard? Fish start swarming in, so much so that they are to the point of bursting. Their boat begins to sink. They have to look, Simon has to look back to the shore to his partners, James and John, in the other boat, and say, "Come help us, because this is going to overwhelm us." And they fill these two boats to the point of sinking with fish. Now you can imagine, if a fisherman is going to have a blessing, this is it, isn't it? Two boats full of fish. And the text kind of gives this idea, they're overwhelming. If maybe if they had a third boat, they would have filled that one. A sixth boat, a tenth boat? That Jesus has done this amazing act of power to fill these boats beyond their wildest imagination. But take note that this blessing, it threatens to overwhelm them, to sink them. And they're afraid. That's not how we normally think of blessing, is it? I think we normally think of blessing as something that makes our life easier and more comfortable, and that is not what is happening here. We kind of throw that term around like candy a bit sometimes. I do. But that's not what's happening here, is it? And we know that because of Simon's response. Something is happening inside of him. This blessing is taking its actual true effect. Because the text, I don't know if you notice this, in verse 8, something happens here. Luke quits calling Simon by his name Simon and calls him Simon Peter. His name is being changed. It's marking this interior shift. I mean, where else does this happen? Abram to Abraham. Jacob to Israel. Eventually Saul to Paul, because he is being marked and transformed. Simon means hear. He has heard the word of God. Peter means rock. He is being transformed into a rock of faith. This blessing is changing and transforming Simon to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter's response is to what? Fall down on his knees before Jesus and cry out, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man." Can you remember another time in Scripture where this, when humanity is confronted with divinity, this kind of response? Can you think back in your heads where that's happened before? I think I heard it. Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet. Isaiah has this vision, and he finds himself in the temple of Yahweh. And there are seraphim flying around, crying out the holiness of God. And what's Simon's response? "Woe to me. I am a man of unclean lips." And the whole temple starts to shake, and it fills with smoke. And he recognizes he is in the presence of something holy and divine, and he's filled with fear. What's happening over here with Simon Peter? Here's a piece that's amazing. I've always been touched by that story of Isaiah and didn't make that connection to what's happening here, because here it's happening in the ordinary, in a very ordinary setting of Simon's life. It's not a temple, it's his boat. But the same feeling you get, it's filled with fish, so it's shaking. It's almost to drown him, right? Just as in the temple, and he cries out, "Go away from me, I'm a sinful man." And I think this sinfulness here, I like that you mentioned picking up on that sinfulness. Maybe part of it is not just recognizing his moral imperfection, but this idea too, that sinfulness is a distance from God, that God is holy and other than me. And this divinity has just stepped too close for my comfort. And I have recognized, I have seen myself for who I am in the face of who you are, and it's almost too much. And so he falls down and he says, "Go away from me." So this blessing, what is it doing here? Much of what blessing should do in our life, it's making us recognize that we are dependent and not in control, and that God is holy and other and is our sustainer. And what is Jesus' response to him? "Do not be afraid." We've already heard these words in Luke with the angels talking to Zechariah and to Mary and the shepherds as they're filled with fear in the face of something other than who they are. "Do not be afraid. For now on, you will not catch fish, you will be catching people." Now, catching fish, that's something that Simon Peter knew how to do. But people? What has this blessing done? It has not caused his life to be easier or more comfortable. It has called him into something more difficult, more unknown, harder. But what does Simon Peter decide to do here? He leaves everything. You're right. This blessing, the biggest blessing of his entire life. And what does he do? He leaves it. He walks away. Because do you know what? His blind eyes have been open. His ears have been unstopped. And he can never go back. He must follow this call. Because this blessing has transformed him, has changed him in this interior way. As Christy May told us earlier, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. And it's a season of our church. It marks 40 days of Lent where we push out into the deep together corporately, into these places of unknown that we'd probably rather not go, rather not look at. but we're asked to go there anyway. And it just makes me wonder, where in our ordinary lives is Jesus appearing right to us as Jesus did to Simon that day? Is blessing us, not for the purpose of us just taking and receiving a blessing, but to pour ourselves out, to be transformed, to take up that call, to be centered, to focus our eyes, and to keep walking alongside Jesus, knowing, and for Simon, we know about him, right? He is a fumbling, bumbling character through the rest of the Gospels and on into Acts. He's going to mess up and say things that he shouldn't. Sometimes you're going to think he's brilliant. Sometimes, what in the world is coming out of your mouth? But much how we feel, right? And to me, that's a comfort that Jesus says, come along as you are, and I will continue to transform you. I will change you into Simon Peter from Simon every step of the way. I will walk with you. So I just encourage you, as we head into this Lenten season, to allow yourself to step into those deep water and those deep places that maybe you've avoided or not wanted to go. Because do you know what? God is there. And God is there to do a good work in you. Maybe not good how we typically define it, but good, and God's good, and that's the best. So let's pray together. God, I thank you for stepping into that boat, for choosing to draw Simon into deep water, just as you draw us out into deep water, to bless us, to amaze us, to transform us, and to call us. In our fear, may our eyes be open to the ordinary day-to-day, to see your presence and to hear your voice so that we can journey with you. Amen.